The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Tech Juggernaut at ttjtech.net, free webinars through November 24th. Via the Blind Post, the AT guys are offering details on the Blind Shell Classic 2 cell phone that's coming out. From Bleeping Computer, YouTube and malware. From iMore, Apple rolls back some of the Safari changes they just let out. From Cool Blind Tech, YouTube now has new accessibility features, and Stanford University has designed a new cane. From ABC News, there's a clip about blind and visually impaired Spaniards indoor skydiving this morning. So let's get started. From ttjtech.net, free resources, free training courses. At TTJ, we are passionate about Apple products because they truly change the way we work, play, learn, create, design, communicate, and express ourselves. Apple products are empowering and life-changing, and we want to share with you how they can change your life. Therefore, we continue to offer free training courses on the basics of the VoiceOver screen reader on iPhone, how to use an iPad as a full-time computer replacement, and how to use the Mac. While we recognize that these courses are no substitute for personalized training for you, your family, or your business, they can still get you on your way to making the most of your Apple products, and they can help you determine the areas or products in which you may wish to receive further training. Classes are typically held from late September through the end of May, Mondays and Wednesdays from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., but please check our Facebook page and subscribe to our training calendar to stay in the loop. There is a very, very long web link that I'm not going to read to you. You can go to ttjtech.net to get that and click on it. From atguys.com, the Blind Shell Classic No. 2 cell phone. Blind Shell Classic 2 available for pre-order. Announcing a brand new Blind Shell. Designed by the blind from the ground up, it's the same simple phone you love upgraded with modern features, more tactile buttons, a louder speaker, and much more. Select one of the links below to pre-order yours or write or call us if you have questions. There are links to hear an audio demo of the Blind Shell Classic 2 and to sign up to receive updates on the Blind Shell Classic 2. The description, Blind Shell Classic 2 accessible tactile button cell phone in black or red, and a phone case for the Blind Shell Classic 2 is available for $18. The phones are sold for $489 each. This item is available for pre-order, and we expect to ship by the end of October. Orders placed by October 31st receive a free Blind Shell beep item locator, as well as a 6-foot nylon braided USB-C charging cable. From BleepingComputer.com, an article by Sergiu Gatlan, S-E-R-G-I-U-G-A-T-L-A-N, Google YouTubers' accounts hijacked with cookie-stealing malware. Google says YouTube creators have been targeted with password-stealing malware and phishing attacks coordinated by financially motivated threat actors. Researchers with Google's Threat Analysis Group, TAG, who first spotted the campaign in late 2019, found that multiple hack-for-hire actors recruited via job ads on Russian-speaking forums were behind these attacks. The threat actors used social engineering via fake software landing pages and social media accounts, and phishing emails to infect YouTube creators with information-stealing malware, chosen based on each attacker's preference. Channels hijacked in pass-the-cookie attacks. Malware observed in the attacks includes commodity strains like Redline, Vidar, Predator the Thief, Nexus Stealer, Azorult, Raccoon, Grand Stealer, Vicro Stealer, Mossad, and Kantal, as well as open-source ones like Adamantium Thief, and leaked tools such as Serrano. Once delivered on the target's systems, the malware was used to steal their credentials and browser cookies, which allowed the attackers to hijack the victim's accounts and pass the cookie attacks. While the technique has been around for decades, its resurgence as a top security risk could be due to a wider adoption of multi-factor authentication, MFA, making it difficult to conduct abuse and shifting attacker focus to social engineering tactics, said Ashley Shen, a tag security engineer. Most of the observed malware was capable of stealing both user passwords and cookies. Some of these samples employed several anti-sandboxing techniques, including enlarged files, encrypted archive, and download IP cloaking. Google identified at least 1,011 domains linked to these attacks and roughly 15,000 actor accounts specifically created for this campaign and used to deliver phishing emails containing links redirecting to malware landing pages to YouTube creators' business emails. Job description, register a Gmail account, send the account to the attacker, perform social engineering to trick the target into downloading the malware. Revenue sharing, 25% of the revenue from hijacked channel. Full stack advertising, job description, search and collect YouTube contact email, register a Gmail account, send the account to attacker, prepare and send out initial set of personalized emails to targets, perform social engineering to trick the target into downloading the malware, and everything else. Revenue sharing, 70% of the revenue from the hijacked channel. Sold for up to $4,000 on underground markets. A significant number of YouTube channels hijacked in these attacks were later rebranded to impersonate high-profile tech executives or cryptocurrency exchange firms and used for live-streaming cryptocurrency scams. Others were sold on underground account trading markets where they're worth anything between $3 to $4,000 depending on their total number of subscribers. Shen added that Google's threat analysis group cut down phishing emails linked to these attacks on Gmail by 99.6% since May 2021. We blocked 1.6 million messages to targets, displayed approximately 62,000 safe browsing phishing page warnings, blocked 2.4 thousand files, and successfully restored approximately 4,000 accounts, Shen said. With increased detection efforts, we've observed attackers shifting away from Gmail to other email providers, mostly email.cz, sesnam.cz, post.cz, and AOL.com. Google also reported this malicious activity to the FBI for further investigation to protect YouTube users and creators targeted in the campaign. Related articles at Hotlinks. Brave ditches Google for its own privacy-centric search engine. Google sent 50,000 warnings of state-sponsored attacks in 2021. Google warns 14,000 Gmail users targeted by Russian hackers. Vidar Steeler abuses Mastodon to silently get C2 configuration. Google to auto-enroll 150 million user accounts into number 2 FA. From iMore.com, Apple backpedals on almost all changes made to Safari. Article by Joe Wituschek, Wituschek. What you need to know. Apple has added the old tab design for Safari back to macOS Monterey. Users will seem to have the option to choose the more traditional layout or the new compact layout. macOS Monterey will launch Monday, October 25th. Spotted by John Gruber from Daring Fireball, Apple has seemingly restored tabs in Safari the way they currently are in macOS Big Sur for those who haven't updated to Safari 15. It appears that the company has left the option to use the compact mode introduced with the new Safari at WWDC back in June, but users now also have the option to use the more traditional Safari tab layout. The new Safari has been a major pain point for a lot of users who have been testing and running the latest generation of the browser. Apple took a lot of heat for the radical redesign, which many determined to be less user-friendly than the previous version of the long-standing default browser for the Mac, iPad, and iPhone. Thankfully, it appears that when macOS Monterey launches next week, users will have complete control over what kind of Safari they want to experience. macOS Monterey launches Monday, October 25th, the day before Apple releases its new 14-inch and 16-inch MacBook Pro and third-generation AirPods. From CoolBlindTech.com, YouTube coming out with new accessibility features. Posted October 18th, YouTube is improving video accessibility for both viewers with vision loss and other languages. The company is testing the option of adding multiple audio tracks to videos. This will help with international viewers, of course, but it should also enable descriptive audio for people with some vision to no vision. This arrives sometime in the coming quarters, YouTube said. Automatic captions should also be far more commonplace. YouTube now permits live automatic captions from any live stream in English, not just those with 1,000 or more subscribers. These live captions will be available for all 13 supported auto-captioning languages in the coming months, according to the company. Auto-translated captions will also reach supported languages on Android and iOS later in 2021, so you won't have to turn your PC to make sense of a video you don't understand. YouTube is also testing with a small group of creators the ability to add multiple audio tracks on their videos, which will help provide multi-language audio for international audiences, as well as descriptive audio for people who are blind or low vision. The company is planning to roll its feature out more widely in the coming quarters. An experiment later in 2021 will let you search transcripts on your phone, YouTube added. A previously promised subtitle editor is still on track to launch in the coming months, giving creators the chance to delegate subtitle creation to someone they trust. The upgrades make sense. YouTube is increasingly dependent on a global audience for views, particularly with the growth of live streaming. These tweaks ensure more people can watch, even if a creator doesn't have the resources to add subtitles themselves. Also posted October 18th, this cane uses autonomous vehicle technology to help guide visually impaired and blind travelers. Stanford University researchers have constructed a cane that could be of significant use to the blind or visually impaired. The standard white cane is an essential aid for getting out and about for many visually impaired people, but to date it hasn't offered much in the way of affordable modern updates. Borrowing technology designed for autonomous vehicles, the team has come up with self-navigating smart cane that can identify obstacles in the surrounding environment and nudge the user safely away from them. What benefits does this cane have over previous smart canes? One of the biggest benefits of the new augmented cane is that it's significantly cheaper than smart canes that came before it. Some of the past smart canes were extremely heavy, weighing up to 50 pounds, and cost as much as $6,000. The new augmented cane utilizes state-of-the-art sensors and only weighs 3 pounds. It could be built at home from freely available parts and open-source software for a price of around $400. What have the tests of the cane revealed? In tests, the smart augmented cane increased walking speed for visually impaired volunteers by 18%. For the 250 million people with vision loss worldwide, this assistive technology could lead to a serious increase in their quality of life. How does the cane work? The cane is designed to help the user detect any obstacles in their path and easily navigate around those obstacles indoors or out. The smart cane relies heavily on LiDAR, light detection and ranging, which uses reflecting lasers to spot objects and adjust distance. Among the sensors used by the cane is a LiDAR sensor used to measure the distance to obstacles to help users navigate around those obstacles. Additional sensors include GPS, accelerometers, magnetometers, and gyroscopes. The sensors work together to monitor the user's position, speed, direction, and other data. The cane also has AI-based wayfinding and robotics algorithms similar to simultaneous localization and mapping technologies. At the tip of the cane is a motorized omnidirectional wheel designed to be in constant contact with the ground. That wheel is a critical component of the system and leads the user by gently pulling left or right around obstacles. The integrated GPS capability can guide the user to precise locations. On the software side, the cane uses several artificial intelligence algorithms, including simultaneous localization and mapping, SLAM, a way of building up a map of an unknown area while also keeping a track of a user's location within it. At the tip of the cane, a motorized omnidirectional wheel can nudge walkers in one direction or another and can even be used to direct someone to a destination like a coffee shop, much like a smartphone or a car sat nav would. We wanted something more user-friendly than just a white cane with sensors, says mechanical engineer Patrick Slade from Stanford University in California. Something that can not only tell you there's an object in your way, but tell you what the object is and then help you navigate around it. We want the humans to be in control, but provide them with the right level of gentle guidance to get them where they want to go as safely and efficiently as possible, says computer scientist Michael Kochendorfer, also from Stanford, MykelKochenderfer. The cane was developed with the help of visually impaired people who gave incredible feedback, according to Slade. A lot of the decisions around design and navigation were made based on the feedback of those who would actually be using the device. When can the cane be available to consumers? Right now, this is still a research prototype. The team has made their design open source, so anyone with the necessary know-how and materials, which cost about $400, can build their own version of the smart cane and assist in its development. We wanted to optimize this project for ease of replication and cost, says Kochendorfer. Anyone can go and download all the code, bill of materials, and electronic schematics for free. Posted October 4th, NUST-MISIS engineers develop Vibro-Braille communicator for deafblind. Engineers from NUST-MISIS and the Karfadov Lab Design Bureau, commissioned by Number 4 Blind, have developed the Vibro-Braille communicator, a device for communicating with people with visual, hearing, and speech impairments. What is Vibro-Braille? Vibro-Braille is a small game-like console that translates Braille text into synthesized speech and vice versa. With 6 buttons on the front panel and built-in tactile elements that transmit signals to the user at their fingertips, like in the Braille system. How does it work? The device works together with a mobile application connected via Bluetooth. In the dictionary of meanings implemented in the application, each Braille character corresponds to a letter of the alphabet, so words are converted into tactile signals and vice versa. The communicator is compact and easy to use. It can be used almost anywhere, at home, on the street, in public transit. The device matrix is simple, 2 columns and 3 rows. For example, the word hello consists of 6 letters. The user types them with buttons, presses enter, and the device speaks it out to the speaker. To initiate communication, the person only needs to press a special button on the device. The user begins to feel a vibration, which means an invitation to dialogue. Then the interlocutor says what he wants to say. His speech is translated into text, and the text is converted into tactile signals according to the Braille principle. The user understands what the interlocutor said to him, says Alexei Karfadov, head of the Department of Technological Equipment Engineering at NUST-MISIS, co-founder and senior designer of Karfadov Lab. That's spelled K-A-R-F-I-D-O-V. According to developers, anyone can build communication with a deafblind person regardless of previous experience through the use of communication tools familiar to everyone. The deafblind person uses the Braille system and the sighted hearing interlocutor uses oral speech. Of course, the communication process will be somewhat slower than under normal conditions. The developers also emphasize that there are no direct analogs of the device either in Russia or abroad. The conceptual idea belongs to the Russian company Number 4 Blind, which develops and creates innovative solutions for blind and deafblind communities. The electronics, design, and prototype of the device have been developed at the Russian design bureau named Karfadov Lab, with the participation of postgraduate students from NUST-MISIS. The result of cooperation with the university's young engineers was the production of a fully functional prototype of the device. The first experimental batch of the devices has been created in the workshops of Karfadov Lab. Tests have already been carried out at the Deafblind Support Foundation, Arrows, in 2021. When will Vibro-Braille be available to the public? Vibro-Braille is being prepared for production. The retail price of the communicator is currently 87,500 rubles, about $1,200 U.S. With mass industrial production, the cost will drop to 10,000 rubles, about $140 U.S. Source, Braille tablet featured at CES 2017 and posted January 3rd, 2017 in News. I'm going to try to read the captions of an ABC video clip that aired at 6 o'clock this morning from Barcelona, Spain. Flying blind, indoor skydiving thrills visually impaired. A group of thrill seekers who are blind or visually impaired took to the air to try their hands at indoor skydiving. Participants said they were overjoyed by the sense of freedom they felt as they flew in the wind tunnel. The flight was part of the Handy Fly project, which aims to make parachute indoor skydiving accessible to people with disabilities. Translated, one of the participants said, "Look, I explain it in two words. Incredible. It was really a new, innovative, and very gratifying experience. It felt like being in a pool of air. But you can breathe. It's like being in the water, only that you can breathe. You feel completely free. You can go from side to side, and there is nothing to stop you. It's not like having your feet on the ground because you don't have that sense of freedom. You have to always be touching something, but not here. Here you are only touching the air, and it was a really great experience." As we wind down October 2021, here is what NationalToday.com had to say about Blindness Awareness Month. Every October, Blindness Awareness Month brings a heightened focus on the blind and visually impaired community and the realities of living without sight. According to the World Health Organization, WHO, everyone, if they live long enough, will experience at least one eye condition in their lifetime. The proof is in the numbers. An estimated 2.2 billion people around the globe suffer from some form of visual impairment or blindness, including everyone who simply wears corrective lenses. 1 billion of these cases could have been prevented or is yet to be addressed. So we should all understand how to maintain optimal eye health and how to navigate life with visual impairments, whether for ourselves or loved ones. Read on to learn how you can observe, celebrate, and advocate during Blindness Awareness Month. Blindness Awareness Month launched in October 2009 from the Little Rock Foundation, an organization in Voorhees, New Jersey, dedicated to serving families with blind or visually impaired children. Tina and Rocco Fiorentino formed the Little Rock Foundation 1 year after the birth of their child, Rocco, who was born 4 months premature and blind. As ambassador for the Little Rock Foundation, Rocco has shown the world blindness doesn't prevent people from living life to the fullest. Blindness Awareness Month seeks to accomplish many things. Education. Companies around the world teach the public about good eye health and the latest research and innovations in the treatment of eye disorders. Inspiration. Stories are shared about blind or visually impaired people accomplishing incredible things most sighted people do not attempt. Advocacy. Organizations garner support for more resources, research, access, and laws that enable people with visual impairments to live fully productive lives and contribute equally to their communities. There is no shortage of ways to learn about, celebrate, and support the visually impaired community throughout Blindness Awareness Month. October 2009, Blindness Awareness Month launched. The Little Rock Foundation in Voorhees, New Jersey, created Blindness Awareness Month to be recognized every October to promote improving blind and visually impaired children's lives. 1999, Vision 2020 proposed Global Plan. The International Agency for the Prevention of Blindness proposed Vision 2020 to advocate eliminating needless visual impairment and helping those with unavoidable vision loss reach their life's full potential. 1995, Newsline for the Blind established. The National Federation of the Blind created the Newsline for the Blind, giving blind and visually impaired people access to newspapers, magazines, and other periodicals using touch-tone phones. In 1824, initial Braille writing system was developed. At age 15, Louis Braille developed his first writing system that led to modern-day Braille, allowing the visually impaired to read through a series of raised dots on embossed paper. Where can I go for more information? There are numerous local, national, and global organizations that support the blind and visually impaired and the research to end blindness. Check out the National Federation of the Blind, Foundation Fighting Blindness, and the International Agency for the Prevention of Blindness. When is National Blind Day? World Sight Day, WSD, is an annual event held on the second Thursday of October. What color ribbon is for blindness? They don't say. Number one, donate money. In the name of a relative, friend, or even yourself, donate to an organization helping the visually impaired. Organizations like the National Federation of the Blind or the Foundation Fighting Blindness work year-round to fund research to prevent and cure conditions causing vision impairment or blindness. Your donations support their research in areas such as genetics, transplantation, retinal implants, and nutritional and pharmaceutical therapies. Number two, read to someone. Do you know a legally impaired or blind student? Does your elderly neighbor struggle to read books, newspapers, or magazines? Volunteer to read to them. This is a meaningful way to spend time with someone who is visually challenged and may not have tools to read on their own. Number three, volunteer to Be My Eyes. Be My Eyes is a free app connecting visually impaired people with sighted volunteers who lend their eyes to help them lead more independent lives. Join over 3 million volunteers worldwide who assist with everyday activities such as navigating new surroundings, distinguishing colors, and reading instructions. Five tips for maintaining eye health. Number one, watch your sugar. Diabetics are 25 times more likely to develop blindness or visual impairment than non-diabetics. Number two, wash your hands. We don't realize how many times we touch our faces and eyes each day, especially if we wear contacts. Washing your hands prevents the spread of bacteria and germs, which can lead to pink eye, colds, and other ailments. Number three, wear sunglasses. Protect your eyes from harmful ultraviolet rays by wearing sunglasses with UVA and UVB protection. Number four, monitor device time. To avoid eye strain from time in front of your electronic devices, take frequent breaks to focus on a faraway object, adjust brightness, and use soothing eye drops as needed. Number five, get checked out. Many eye disorders could be easily treated or even prevented through early detection. Make an appointment with your eye doctor today. Why Blindness Awareness Month is important? Number one, it helps us understand vision problems. Education is key. Throughout Blindness Awareness Month, many companies provide educational events to teach employees about eye disorder prevention. Ask your benefits department for more information on your vision plan to ensure you are getting the most from your insurance coverage. Number two, it gives us hope. Blindness Awareness Month is a time for sharing stories of hope as much as it is understanding the alarming statistics. It gives blind and visually impaired people a platform for telling their own stories, as well as inspiring others to overcome the stigma of their disabilities. This month reminds us that we don't have to be defined by our physical limitations. Number three, it serves as a reminder. While there are many opportunities to learn about the blind and visually impaired community throughout October, it's better to allow this time to serve as a reminder that protecting our vision and helping those who suffer from low or no vision is something we can do year-round. Start forming new habits this month that continue throughout the year, whether that is volunteering with the visually impaired or taking care of your eye health. Blindness Awareness Month dates in 2021, October 1st was a Friday. In 2022, October 1st will be Saturday, 2023, Sunday, 2024, Tuesday, 2025, Wednesday. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.